You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Well, folks, we're back on our regular schedule after that little event, otherwise known as the Super Bowl, was visiting us last week. And we always enjoy our little segment on NOLA Coalition. So many difference makers in our community working hard each and every day. Today's no different. We're joined by Coretta Lagarde, Executive Director of the American Heart Association of Greater New Orleans. Coretta, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So February is American Heart Month. Go figure, with Valentine's Day being right in the middle of it, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us about...
It's been a celebration.
Absolutely. No doubt. Tell us what you guys have planned for American Heart Month.
Well, it's so exciting to have American Heart Month being put into the throes of Super Bowl and Valentine's and the beginning of Mardi Gras. So we have a lot of activities that have happened this past week. Kicking off Heart Month, the American Heart Association had our mobile CPR unit at the Super Bowl experience, and we trained hundreds of visitors from all across the country in hands-only CPR. And that was really just the beginning. We've collaborated, and we are having our Go Red for Women luncheon on Valentine's Day this Friday. And so we'll be celebrating with women all across the greater New Orleans area in support of heart health. If you didn't know, 1 in 3 women live with some form of cardiovascular disease, and it is on the rise for younger women. And so a lot of that really can be prevented. You know, cardiovascular disease can be prevented. And so supporting our Go Red for Women movement and all throughout Heart Month, we wear red because it is the number one cause of death of women for cardiovascular disease.
350,000 people experience a cardiac arrest outside of a hospital. And then I guess if you add the number of inside hospitals, that number is huge.
Oh, absolutely. And what we are really doing all throughout this month, as I told you, we kick it off with Super Bowl. We also had an event in collaboration with the off-the-field wives, NFL's off-the-field wives, which taught children in Orleans Parish and Jefferson Parish pool safety and water safety skills along with CPR. And that is our goal. We want one person in every household to be trained in CPR. And really this month is the time for us to do that. So we're focused on doubling the survival rate of cardiovascular or cardiac arrest by 2030. And so it's easier now more than ever for families to learn CPR. We are doing CPR in school initiatives. We have CPR in some of our local organizations and collaborations. Most recently, we gifted NOBA, the New Orleans Ballet Association, CPR kit to teach their students and teachers there. We'll be doing the same thing at Son of a Saint. And then we'll be rounding that off the end of this month with YEP. And so not only are we collaborating with our schools, we're also collaborating with community organizations to make sure that they have the tools for the students and their families to learn CPR.
Coretta, I guess you guys involve yourself in a lot of education as well, right, about the symptoms to look for. And more often than not, I guess when you guys talk to folks that have experienced cardiac arrest, when they think back and do the after action on it, the symptoms were readily apparent, but they just looked past them in many cases, right?
Well, I think that people just aren't always aware of those signs of heart attack, stroke, or cardiac arrest. And so we try to do our best to educate people. So when something has happened, you do something. The first thing I always really advise, and American Heart Association advises, is for people to call 911 if they feel like something isn't right. So either of those particular initiatives, if you see those warning signs, and I'll give you some of those, if you see some of those warning signs present, to call 911. So a heart attack, which is what most people, you know, leads to cardiac arrest. There's chest discomfort. There's also, and especially in women, so again, doing a lot of this, outreach for women this month. There's discomfort in other areas of the upper body. So that could be like your arms or your back or your neck or, you know, even sometimes your stomach, and then the shortness of breath. One of those, you know, those are the main signs. I would also even say nausea or lightheadedness. Those could be signs that you may be experiencing a heart attack. And then for stroke, it's our favorite acronym, and it's spot a stroke. So face drooping. So if your face is drooping on one side, arm weakness, one arm is weak or numb, and you can't raise both of your arms. Speech difficulty. So that's slurred speech. So people trying to talk and you can't understand them. So I know I talk fast. I'm trying to slow it down for this conversation, but that's like really a slurred, hey, you know, the sky is blue. And then they're like, not saying that. They're saying something different and they can't repeat what you may have said. And then we ask people to call 911. And then really for those people who you may need to administer CPR on, that is really loss of responsiveness. So you're tapping on them, they're not responding, they're not breathing, you don't see that they're breathing. Really for just as little as 5 seconds, if you are not getting a response for that person, we want people to call 911 and then push hard and fast in the center of the chest so that they could actually start CPR on those, on anyone who's non-responsive.
Absolutely. It's funny. A lot of times my mind just went blank when you're feeling nauseous or you think it's something, you know, relative to some food that you've had. Mm-hmm. Some folks mistake maybe possibly having reflux or something along those lines as to being, is what they're experiencing when they're experiencing something totally different. And what I find interesting in folks that I know that have gone through the experience of a heart attack or cardiac arrest is that the symptoms were obvious, but they explained it away to something else. But their gut was that they felt like it probably was more serious, but they didn't act on their instinct. And mm-hmm. I always say, man, your gut is typically right. Right. I mean,
in
your heart of hearts,
even in your stomach, you could feel it. And I tell all the time, we hear so many amazing stories. We hear so many sad stories, but we hear amazing stories where people drove themselves to the hospital or, mm-hmm. you know, something that really could be dangerous for you. You know, I always recommend, again, call 911. And the 911 operators are actually trained to help you handle this situation, whether it is actually helping you to do CPR, or if it is a deeper emergency and we need to call for EMS to come out, you want to be able to have a secondary person. You don't want to be solely responsible because that could really be dangerous. And it's a critical time in your life, those seconds in between this being something serious and something life-threatening or something that you can actually manage and get ahead of before it worsens. And yes, people do not always listen. And so those stories of heartache are the stories where people are not listening to their bodies. And we recommend people to know your bodies, know your numbers, know if you have high blood pressure, your cholesterol is off, know those things so that way you can take action if you need to.
Absolutely. And the dollars that y'all raise in large measure all stay here locally, right?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people don't realize that. We're a national organization, but to do the community initiatives, as I mentioned, those organizations that we're working with right here in New Orleans to really help our community, we have to raise local dollars. And then those dollars all go to support our program, whether it's CPR, which we do tons of initiatives around community readiness and CPR, whether it's something like access to care, where we're working with federally qualified health centers or hospitals around medical care, whether it's something like our healthy eating initiative, so not just getting food, but getting healthy food. And then we do work a lot with our schools and community organizations around that initiative, distributing healthy foods, doing teaching healthy cooking classes, and really trying to make sure people understand that they need to eat healthy to live longer. The food in New Orleans, we just celebrated the Super Bowl and we talked about all this great food. And then you have to offset that with having some healthier options. And then our other big initiative is always around eliminating tobacco use and cigarette use, because we know that that is a direct correlation to heart disease and stroke. And so we like to do our best to help prevent that and educate, especially our youth, around that initiative.
Now, you guys have a bunch of events. The next one coming up this Friday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, New Orleans Go Red for Women. Tell us about it.
Our Go Red for Women luncheon, as I mentioned, all throughout February, we want to bring awareness to women's number one killer. And that's why we celebrate with a community of survivors throughout this event. And it's a phenomenal event. We have stories that we share. We're able to uplift many of the people who actually have assisted in implementing initiatives that are helping the community. And then we also do a lot of outreach around women in STEM, and our STEM Goes Red. And that'll be our next event following the Go Red for Women luncheon. And then really uplifting
and that's
that
on
work
March
in the community.
28th, right? That's March 28th?
Absolutely. Correct. And so, as you know, and, many people may be aware, STEM careers are still mostly led a male-dominated field. And so only 27% of STEM careers are occupied by women. And so we like to provide some STEM initiatives directly to our young middle school girls to teach them about science in education and discovery, and giving them direct insight to women who are in these rewarding careers in STEM. And so while we celebrate those women at STEM Goes at the Go Red for Women luncheon, at STEM Goes Red, they come back out and then they actually help us to provide resources, training, hands-on initiatives with these young women. Usually we have about 100 female students across the greater New Orleans area. And then we have mentors. So we still have openings for mentors. If you're interested in that event, you want to be a mentor with one of these young ladies or have a hands-on learning experiences with them. We still have opportunities for that. And all of that really helps us to uncover their potential and build a path for careers right here in the New Orleans area.
Absolutely. And on April 3rd, New Orleans Heart Ball. And on Saturday, May 10th, North Shore Heart Walk. All kinds of ways to participate. If folks have an interest in attending any of these functions or donating to your organization, where would they go?
You can go to our website. It's heart.org/Louisiana or /New Orleans. It'll get you to the same site. We also have a Facebook page and an Instagram page and a Twitter page, all at AHA Louisiana. So any of those sites, you can get to all of our local information, all of our local events in the greater New Orleans area, and really have an opportunity to connect with us. You can also email AHA New Orleans at heart.org, and that will be directly to our Greater New Orleans office, which covers South Louisiana. So if you, your family and friends are interested in events specifically in South Louisiana, you can direct those emails to us.
Coretta Lagarde, thank you so much for joining us today. Best of luck celebrating American Heart Month. Coretta is the Executive Director of the American Heart Association of Greater New Orleans. Have a great week.
Thank you.
All righty, folks. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with
us. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
This. Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Ryan Young, senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. You may recall a couple of weeks ago, we had a very interesting conversation about contributors to inflation, what segments of the economy do so. And I wanted to get him back on to talk about the trade balance and what portions of that may contribute to inflation as well. But I got to be honest with you, folks, so much has happened between now and then. I'm not sure what's relevant, what's not any longer. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having back on. And yeah, it has been a very eventful couple of weeks, we'll put it that way.
You guys must be working overtime over there. I mean, every time I open my emails, I got another alert of something else happening.
Yeah, we're keeping up, but it's not easy.
So let's talk about, if you don't mind, let's talk about this 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum. This was done in Trump 1, obviously, and it's now done again in Trump 2. It provided exceptions for both Canada and Mexico, but not this time. So the impact is going to be different, yes, no?
Somewhat. In the first term when President Trump put those tariffs on, they did initially include Canada and Mexico. In fact, that was part of the USMCA trade agreement negotiations, getting those back to zero where they were before. And we also negotiated exemptions with Europe and with Japan, and those took some time to negotiate, and they get a little in the weeds as far as details go. But now those exemptions are gone. Maybe they'll reopen negotiations. Maybe they don't. We don't know because they just came into effect literally today. And the other thing to note is that the aluminum tariffs in term one were 10%. Those are all going up to 25% now. So that's going to be a pretty substantial hike, and that's going to affect home appliances, beverages, construction, and autos, and other industries as well.
Ryan, can domestic production of either steel or aluminum meet the demand?
I think so. What President Trump used to justify these tariffs, and I don't put too much into it, is national security. And one reason I don't put too much into it is because it's Canada and Mexico and Europe. And the executive order also specifically cites Ukrainian steel that we import as a threat to U.S. national security. So I don't think it's about that. I think it's about other things. And I think maybe giving U.S. steel and aluminum manufacturing a boost is the real objective here. So don't put too much into what those justifications are. But I also don't think there's too much to it. We only import about a quarter of the steel that we use, and aluminum, our biggest source of steel isn't foreign aluminum. It's actually recycled aluminum from here in America. We make about 30% of it from mining. We recycle about 36%, and then the remaining 30% or so is imported.
So I'm surprised to hear that we have the capacity, because I was always led to believe that we did not. But that's good. That's good news. That's good to hear.
Yeah. And if you think about it, the two biggest steel users are autos, which use about a quarter of all steel that we use, and construction, which is about 44% of steel usage. If you're talking national security, the Defense Department uses, call it 2%, 2 to 3% of domestic steel demand. That's for all the tanks and planes and military bases and all the defense infrastructure that we need to keep America safe. 2% of steel. We make about 76% of steel here in the U.S. So if the world were to cut us off entirely, we would still have a military 38 times the size that we have now, at least in terms of steel usage.
How much of this has to do with the negotiation and predicament that U.S. Steel finds itself in today?
It's part of it. As you know, U.S. Steel is in a tough spot. They've been coddled for so long, they've forgotten how to be competitive. And the same goes with some of their competitors, like Cleveland-Cliffs and Nucor. And one thing we're finding out is that when you raise tariffs against foreign products, that gives domestic producers room to raise their prices as well. And one thing we found is that last night, Nucor Steel, which, if I remember correctly, is these days the biggest American steel producer, they announced that they're already raising their prices. They announced that last night. $40 a ton for rebar steel is their first price increase, and there are more on the way. You can bet your biscuits that U.S. Steel and Cleveland-Cliffs and all the other major producers are doing the same thing, because now they can raise their prices and not get undercut. And while that might be good for the short term, and last time around it did boost about 1,000 steel jobs, if you're a steel-using industry, autos, construction, you name it, that cost about 75,000 jobs. So the good, 1,000 jobs. The bad, you lose 75,000 jobs. That's not good math.
Then why are we going down this path? I mean, we've done it once, and that's what the outcome revealed, right? Is there another value added that we're missing?
No, it's political. It's very political. There's the old canard about ethanol farmers in Iowa being an almost sacred constituency. No politician from a farm state is ever going to oppose ethanol subsidies because they will get primaried, they will get booted out of office. Turns out only about 1.5% of our labor force is in agriculture, so that's not true. We're seeing that same story play out with the steel and aluminum industries. Those industries combined employ about 150,000 people. There are more people employed as manicurists than work in those two industries combined. And even if they're heavily concentrated in politically important swing states like Ohio and Pennsylvania, that's still not a lot of votes. So it's politics. It's not only just politics, it's misguided politics.
You know, I always adhere to the thought that the entity's interest always outweighs the individual. And when I hear these anecdotal stories like this, it runs completely contrary, because then these things are not in the best interest of our country in the end.
Yeah, there is a sincerity component. I don't mean to say that everything is political all the time.
Right.
That's, Republicans and Democrats are both sincere in their beliefs. But if you want to get ahead in politics, well, you do have to play the game. And in this case, I think that's what's going on. If we're talking about the Nippon Steel U.S. Steel deal, the reason that got scuttled is mainly because of Cleveland-Cliffs. They lobbied very aggressively. They made their own offer to buy U.S. Steel, which was about one-third less. So if you're a U.S. Steel shareholder or employee, you're not getting your money's worth. But they lobbied very aggressively, and they happened to succeed, at least for the time being, although my understanding is that as of right now, on Tuesday, the deal might be back on in the form of allowing Nippon Steel to make some kind of investment. But, when Wednesday comes, who knows? But that's, politics is nearly always a factor. It's not the factor, but it's a factor, and it's a big one.
But it doesn't encourage one to become more efficient, to be more competitive, to engage in technology improvements, because it's almost really rewarding status quo, is it not?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I think it's a shame, because if you think about the fantastic culture of entrepreneurship, the superior economic institutions we have compared to what we have around the world, the talented workforce we have, the experience, the skills, the gung-ho entrepreneurial spirit that we have and a lot of other countries don't. Why aren't we taking advantage of that? Companies like U.S. Steel and Nucor and Cleveland Cliffs and all the rest, if instead of holding them as welfare cases and letting them have a quiet, cozy existence, what if we let them compete in the world market with all the advantages that America has? They could do amazing things, but they don't like that. It's easier just to raise tariffs and raise their prices. That's why the U.S. has the highest domestic steel prices in the world, and they're going up as we speak.
And yet they will blame that on, you know, unions. True, not true? Yeah.
Partially true. In the case of Cleveland Cliffs, they're pretty tightly allied with the U.S. Steelworkers Union. So here you have, that's the case where you have management and employees on the same side of the table. In that case, they both like the protected, cozy existence. It's not the only industry where that's the case, but yeah, that's a factor.
But you know, it's amazing. I love our conversations, Ryan, because people don't talk about this. They don't say it in the context that you just presented it. And I got to imagine there are a number of people in my listening audience saying, wow, wait a minute. There are more manicurists than there are steelworkers? I mean, you know, it's like we're led to believe that industry is huge and is responsible for a major part of our economy.
Well, the thing is, the industries themselves are pretty small. But remember how I said, you know, you gain 1,000 jobs and you lose 75,000. The industries that depend on steel and that depend on aluminum are huge. The entire automotive industry, they're the biggest users of the second biggest users of steel and the biggest users of aluminum. They use a third of all aluminum just in that one industry. And then, of course, you have beverages, you know, you have giants like Coca-Cola, and then you have your small local craft brewers making their own stuff in-house. They all use aluminum cans. They're all going to be affected by this. And companies pass on their costs. We're going to pay that at the grocery store. Anyone who's in the market for a new car or a new house, you might see your rent or your mortgage go up if you move. This is a big deal, even if the industries themselves are small. It's one of those cases where the benefits go to the few, but we, the many, are going to end up paying the costs.
We got to get to a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about how is the trade balance and the balance of trade that we look to and seek to accomplish, whether or not that's a contributor to inflation or not. We're visiting with Ryan Young, senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. Getting a lot of text saying, why are prices going up here domestically if they're putting tariffs on imported steel? And I guess, Ryan, we're visiting with Ryan Young, senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, because they can, right?
Yeah, that's about it.
I mean, I don't know any other way to explain it. If they can increase their margins, they're going to do it.
Yeah, same as any other line of work, except in this case, they're getting an assist from government. If the private sector did that on their own, you'd be seeing an antitrust case, but when it's a tariff, same result, but you're not going to see the legal prosecution.
Right, because their increases are going to be commensurate amongst the competitors in the domestic steel industry.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and to the, you know, the last time this happened, steel prices in the U.S. are already among the world's highest. That went up to about, they were about $1,000 a ton, and you raise that to $250 per ton. Domestic steel prices went up about $250 per ton, almost exactly the amount of the tariff. And this is happening in industry after industry. Wherever tariffs happen, you can predict that's exactly what's going to happen.
So what does this do to inflation? I mean, it's got to be a contributor. Cost of going up, right?
It's enough to show up in CPI and some of the other indicators that we look at. Tariffs aren't strictly inflationary because that has to do with what the Fed looks like and all that. That has to do with the money supply. If, say, the money supply doubled overnight, how many dollars exist? It's $6 trillion, roughly. You double that overnight to $12 trillion, what you're going to find is that the amount of real goods and real services is exactly the same, but the price of everything's going to double, your salary is going to double, no one's going to be better off or worse off. It's just a change in the exchange rate between money and stuff. Tariffs don't do that. They just raise the prices of tariffed goods. So it's not strictly inflation, but it's still price increases, it still hits people in the pocketbook, and it still costs jobs.
Well, let's talk about like rebar. You use that as an example that you heard yesterday, you know, already they raised the price per ton there. I mean, that impacts residential construction, commercial construction, road building, bridge building. I mean, the list goes on and on. When the cost of those goods passed on to the consumer, to government and others, it has to have an inflationary effect.
Well, it affects those prices. The tricky part is telling that monetary inflation, apart from other inflation, it can be difficult because prices can go up or down for literally millions of reasons. Right. The shorthand way I use to tell them apart, what's inflation, what's just a price increase, is does this thing affect all prices or does it just affect some prices? With tariffs, they just affect some prices. Rebar steel, you're going to pay higher prices for housing, for infrastructure, for road building, for those things. It's not going to affect the price of food, for example. So yes,
you don't differentiate. Let me ask this question. You don't differentiate then between domestic company price increases and the tariff?
They're not exactly the same, but they're pretty darn close. If we raise a tariff on foreign goods, you can be very confident that domestic producers are going to raise their prices. If you want to go back to that rebar steel example, a brand new 25% steel tariff, in addition to what we already have, they raised their prices by $40. They would raise their prices by more than $40 if that were the case. But since we already have pre-existing tariffs and this is closing loopholes in those existing tariffs, they figure they can only get away with about a $40 per ton increase instead of what would have been about a $200 to $300 per ton increase.
Wow. Yeah, I got a text here that says, where'd it go? I've been dealing with Nucor for over 40 years, and I'm already seeing increases.
Yeah, that sounds about right, and that's going to hurt a lot of industries. During the break, I was looking up numbers for aluminum. There are about 60,000 jobs in the aluminum industry, but there are about 10.5 million jobs that depend on aluminum. So, you know, to benefit the aluminum producers, you're going to have to raise prices on 10.5 million workers, construction, transportation, machinery, electrical equipment, all these things, all these industries are going to be affected, and all their customers, that's you and me, are going to be affected by these price increases. And even if they're not strictly inflation, that's just economists parsing things that don't matter all that much, it's still going to hit us in the pocketbook.
It's just interesting that when we attack this balance of trade equation, for lack of a better term, one would think that it would have a more positive impact for us, but in many ways it just simply does not.
Yeah, and I think it's because a lot of people call it the trade deficit, and the word deficit is scary. Rightly so. But the thing about trade is it's always reciprocal. No one agrees to a trade unless everyone involved expects to benefit. I was going through my bank account. It's tax time. Got to make sure I have enough in there. Turns out that I run a thousands of dollar every year trade deficit with my grocery store. Every year. I spend thousands of dollars there, and I don't think they have ever paid me for one of my articles or to pay me to give a talk about economic policy. So every year there's that trade deficit.
I hate to even think of those in that context. text Ryan, I might not have a sleep.
But the reason I keep going back is because we both benefit. I would rather have food in my fridge than the money it costs to buy that food. And so I benefit. The store benefits because they'd rather have that money than the food on their shelves. That's sustainable. You know, as long as everyone involved is making a mutually beneficial transaction, trade deficit, trade surplus, it's neither good nor is it bad. And you find that, you know, look at the booms and busts throughout U.S. history. The trade deficit's got nothing to do with them either way. And the nice thing is when those dollars go abroad, you can't spend a dollar, a U.S. dollar in Canada or, you know, at a Japanese grocery store. What are they going to do with those dollars? They invest. So our trade deficit is also an investment surplus in almost exactly the same amount. They keep some dollars for, you know, foreign exchange, foreign currency reserves. There's always some black market activity. But our trade deficit is also an investment surplus. Where did Nippon Steel get those dollars that they want to use to buy U.S. steel? From trade. So it all evens out in the end. As long as individuals make decisions that benefit them, if accountants want to aggregate that at a national scale and see if it's got a plus or a minus sign, that's great, but it doesn't really mean that much.
This is all very interesting. And then, you know, I'm thinking of going back to the grocery analogy, and then I pay a premium because I want to go to the grocery store that's the most convenient to me and closest to my residence. So, and I know I'm paying a premium to do so. There are places that are cheaper, right? So
yeah,
I've even increased my trade deficit on that, in that regard. You see, you've already infected my brain, right? Well, thank you so much for joining us. We will definitely have you on again to talk about this. Ryan Young, senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Really appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you, Newell.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Brandon Buck, research fellow in foreign policy studies at the Cato Institute. He recently authored an article entitled, "Invading Mexico Will Not Solve the Cartel Problem." And we'll talk about a number of schools of thought in trying to address the cartel issue in Mexico. And obviously, it's all about fentanyl coming across this our southern border as well, right? And we'll also visit with Kevin Dolio, Director of Aviation for the Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport. Talk about Super Bowl 59 and the conventioners as they come and go through the airport.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.